As we stand, let's pray. Lord God, as we hear that story of Jesus opening up the scriptures, we pray that you'll open them up to us this morning and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Do sit down. Well, I remember one of my sons, as a really little boy, suddenly becoming very keen on reading Bible stories and praying every evening when I put him to bed. Now, obviously, I thought, wow, you know, Tim and I are setting him a really good example. You know, we're a really great Christian family. Our son's really into this Bible study and prayer. It was only a few days later when he observed to me that he hadn't yet grown any taller, that I realized that he'd taken that song they'd been learning at his church school a bit seriously. It went something like this: I'm going to read the Bible, going to pray every day, and then I'll grow, grow, grow. Of course, there is really some truth in that song, because although children might misinterpret it when they're desperate to grow taller, actually, when we do those things, when we read the Bible, when we pray, we do grow closer to God and we do grow spiritually. When we root our lives in the Word of God, it makes a real difference to how we relate to God and how we understand ourselves and our role in the world. I wonder if you read the Bible regularly. You certainly hear it read when you come here to church, but maybe you're in a connect group and you read the Bible with others in your connect group or a weekly study group of some sort. Maybe you have a daily pattern or some sort of weekly pattern of reading the Bible in your own personal time with God. It'd be interesting to know if you've got a real Bible at home. Maybe it's a dusty old one on your shelf in an old translation that you don't really understand. That does happen. Maybe you're someone like me who mostly reads the Bible on your phone these days because you've always got it with you. It's clear that Jesus was steeped in the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures. Jesus often quotes or relates things or refers to the Hebrew Scriptures. And he does that at every stage of his life and his ministry. He kind of roots himself in the scriptures, the great story of God's salvation, the great story of God's chosen people, the works of the prophets. In the gospel reading today, Jesus stands up in the synagogue to read. It was something that Jewish men did and still do in the synagogue. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah is given to him. Quite a ceremonial thing. I don't know if you've ever been in a synagogue and you've seen the Torah in those amazing, beautiful, embellished scrolls. And he unrolls the scroll and he finds the place where this is written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Extraordinary, powerful words. Words that have been very familiar to Jesus and his listeners at the time. They might have even become a bit over-familiar and have lost something of their impact because they'd been heard so many times. But on that occasion, when Jesus read them in that synagogue in his home village of Nazareth, everyone was transfixed. Jesus read those words as his mission statement. He read those words as his raison d'etre, his reason and whole purpose for being. He didn't come up with something new. Jesus found his meaning of life, his purpose, the work he was to do through the words of Scripture. He makes those words of Hebrew Scripture his own. The Word of God lives and breathes and gives new life and purpose. I wonder if that's your experience when you read the Bible. It is the living, breathing Word of God. All we need to do is to unroll the scroll, open the book. It should be our go-to book for when we're looking for meaning and purpose. It should shape our core desires and longings. It should reveal everything we need to know about ourselves and our context. It helps us to find our place in the world. In our reading today from 1 Corinthians, Paul writes in his letter this great, wonderful section on what it means to be part of the body of Christ. He places us not as individuals who are all doing our own thing, but all as part of the body of Christ, each important, each valued. We're to share one another's joys, to grieve with one another in our sorrows, to hold together, to work together, to value one another. Reading scripture really does help us to work out not just ourselves and our own meaning and purpose, but where we fit, where our context is in the world. But I suspect that some of us will find the Old Testament part of the Bible a bit more challenging and tricky than the New Testament. It might sometimes just seem easier to read the Gospels, the stories of Jesus. And of course, that is absolutely the best place to start reading the Bible, and it's really important. That's one of the reasons we remain standing when we hear the Gospel being read. It might be easier to read the rest of the New Testament, some of the letters that Paul wrote, although they can be pretty challenging in parts. But it's easiest probably to leave the Old Testament, that really big chunk in the first sort of at least two-thirds of a book of the Bible. It's hard sometimes for us to see what the relevance is today. But actually the truth is we can't really get to know God. We can't really understand who Jesus is unless we root all of that in the stories and writings of the Old Testament. That gives us the context and place to understand who Jesus is, to understand his meaning and purpose, and therefore to understand our own meaning and purpose. In that gospel passage, it's absolutely clear that Jesus grounds himself, his mission, and everything about him in the prophecy and in the rest of the Hebrew scriptures. And that's because Jesus was a Jew. Now, some of you may be aware that today is Holocaust Memorial Day. It's a day when around the world we remember the tragedy of the Holocaust when 6 million Jews were murdered under the Nazi regime. We also remember other genocides which have followed around the world. Genocides in Cambodia, Rwanda, Bosnia, and Darfur. It's the 25th anniversary this year of the genocide in Rwanda. I think it's really hard to accept and understand that human beings can actually behave like this, deliberately, calculatingly murdering certain sections of people. It's not really recognizing that we're all part of the body of Christ, that we're all together. But we know it's true, don't we? And we know it continues today. We know there's killing going on at the moment in southern Cameroon. I know Sam's very conscious of that. There's killing going on in Yemen and other places around the world. I found out that in the last 2 years, 600,000 people have been killed in Yemen. When we look back, we can often see that the reason for these terrible situations and tragic killings is lack of understanding, a deep suspicion of the other, suspicion of people who are not like us. And one of the things that we as Christians corporately have to take responsibility for is that anti-Semitism, hatred of Jews, started among Christian people. And that's partly because Christian people down the ages have ignored their Jewish roots. Christian people haven't read the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, and placed themselves in the context of God's special relationship with his chosen people. As Christians, we need to be sorry corporately and to change and to seek to learn from these past tragedies. And Holocaust Memorial Day is a day for us all to take the opportunity to do that, to remind ourselves that we are all rooted in God's ongoing story of love for us. It's a story of love that started with God's special relationship with his chosen people, the Jewish people. And God's ultimate love, of course, was shown in the coming of Jesus into the world as a Jew. Jesus himself placed himself in that context of God's ongoing love for his children. He found his meaning and purpose in the Hebrew scriptures. We need to read the whole Bible, however difficult we sometimes find it, to get a picture of the whole Bible. I sometimes suggest to people that they read a children's Bible. Most of you will know that I'm a particular fan of the Jesus Storybook Bible, but it's really worth doing that. It's a way of being able to get that whole picture of God's love for us shown in the complete sweep of salvation through the story of his people, right from the beginning of creation to the revelation at the end of time. Some of you might be working on reading the Bible in a year. I know some people here use the HTB, Nikki and Pippa Gumbel, Day at a Time. I can't think what it's called, actually, but it's like a daily Bible reading app online. There are all sorts of ways that you can do that, but getting that sense of the sweep of God's salvation, his love for all, that sense of all being part of one body, of Jesus being the person who brings us together and reconciles us to God and one another, that is what draws us away from the sort of tragedies that we're remembering today. I want to encourage you to pick up your Bible or put on your phone with a new sense of purpose this week, because the Bible reveals God to us. It reveals God's love for us. The Bible contains all God's promises for us, revealing the promise that God's love and power will overcome. The Bible reveals that in Jesus, we are all made to be part of one body, Jews and Gentiles, that we're all, as I've said, to be reconciled to God and reconciled to one another. The Bible gives us that context and place, shows us where we fit in the world. And the Bible reveals God's will for us, corporately and individually. It's where we can find our purpose and meaning. The Bible nourishes us and feeds us. Think of Jesus in the wilderness when Satan tempted him to turn stones into bread. And he responds, "One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." The Bible shows us how to live. The Bible reveals the truth to us. And this can be really exposing because we discover the struggle of our own sinful nature, the temptation to rebel against the love of God. After all, we know the reality that people can calculatingly choose to arrange for the cold-blooded murder of many, many thousands of other people, human beings like them. The Bible is also a huge source of comfort. The Psalms tell us again and again about what it means to be a human being, how we respond to God as part of the human condition. The Bible can be comfort, especially in times of difficulty and trouble. And of course, the Jewish people have a huge commitment to Scripture and to reading and studying Scripture. And I imagine that in those death camps at Auschwitz and Birkenau, they would have recited Scripture together from memory. Maybe something like Psalm 16. The first verse says, "Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge." And the last verse says, "You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Again, I want to encourage you to open the Bible in a new way this week and to be open to what God has in store for you. And do, if you can, take the time sometimes to memorize Scripture, even if it's just one verse or one short psalm, because that is a resource for you in your times of need, just like it would have been for people in those death camps, I know it was for someone like Terry Waite when he was in solitary confinement in captivity for 5 years. If we hold scripture in our memory, we always have it there as a resource. And ask yourself the question, what happens when you open the book? Amen.